What's good, my amazing friends? This is Sarah Amazing Grace, and you are tuned in to The Remedy. My friends, do we have an exciting show for you today? Oh my gosh. You guys, your girl, she loves good documentaries. I have watched a bunch of them. I know you have too, because I know you love good documentaries too. Man, they just suck you in. And I saw a killer one. Oh my gosh, you guys, it's called The Reawakening. It is an up-and-coming docu-series, but the first episode is out, and you guys, it is so freaking good. You have to watch it. Eric and I, we couldn't stop. We were glued to our screen. And today, get ready, because on the show, we have the creator, the writer, the director, Matthew Thayer. You guys, we have him here today on The Remedy, so tune in. Let's go. Hey, friends, I want to introduce you to Matthew Thayer. He is the creator, the writer, the director of this documentary that I just cannot stop talking about. Incredible. The Reawakening series. Oh my gosh, you guys, you have to watch this. And I am so blessed. We are all so blessed to have Matthew here with us today. Matthew, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. That's always wonderful to get on another podcast and engage with a different audience. And so hello, everybody. And I started doing filmmaking about 15 years ago. Really felt like, I mean, I loved stories all my life, and actually wanted to be an animator when I grew up. And when I grew up, I got married to my first wife and got some kids, and ended up just like going like, well, I gotta put all those childish dreams aside, and I gotta do mortgages, to provide for the family. And so part of my soul died, and with it, my marriage fell apart, and ended up in just a real low point in my life, and felt like I had a conversation with God what I should do. And he's like, well, that thing that I put in your heart to do, if you've never done, you should probably do that. And I said, okay, well, yeah, touche. So I started looking into filmmaking. He started putting some ideas in my mind that to this day have not been realized, but they are one of my driving forces to keep going. But I started to learn how to screenwrite, started to teach myself how to edit. I had been homeschooled, so self-education was nothing new. So I just would go down to the store, to Barnes & Noble or to the library. Met my second wife, and she had been pursuing filmmaking and media, and she really encouraged me to pick up the director, chair, to jump in the director's chair. And she's been, along my side the entire way. I mean, she's the producer on this project. She's the producer on our last documentary as well, called The Trump I Know. So it's just been a journey. We've incorporated our children into a lot of our short films. We started doing a lot of corporate and commercial projects over the years. And then, recently we've jumped into this documentary space. And our hope but our goal, which should be soon realized, is to start doing some scripted work, making movies and TV series and things like that.
Incredible. So what was there one moment or what prompted you to make this particular documentary?
Well, there's probably a couple of different things that kind of prompted it. The genesis of it, technically would be, I met Clay through a relationship of mutual friends, and we were already, looking at possibility of moving to Tulsa and doing some, there's a lot of opportunities for filmmaking down in Oklahoma, very government-friendly environment as far as tax incentives and things like that. We'd already been on a couple of projects down there, and so found out that Clay was from Tulsa. Connected with him, and he, gets on the phone, and if Clay, I mean, he's already a million steps ahead of you and goes a million miles an hour, and he's just like, hey, you do documentaries, right? And I'm like, well, yeah, that's one of the things that I do. Well, I got this idea. So he just pitches me this idea to do this documentary about the tour, and I'm like, well, this is a pretty big idea, Clay. I mean, it feels like it needs to be kind of a series, and so, well, football, you know. So we started off on it, and it was kind of interesting because I'd already had an idea that I had talked to some other producers about, and it actually didn't materialize. But it was back at the end of the year where we were talking about the voting, all of the fraud, the voting machine companies, and you know, just kind of like where we were as we were watching everything kind of tailspin after November 3rd. And and we had kind of worked on this series and idea, right, where things kind of wove together. And so when Clay brought this up, I was like, oh, maybe I could unpack some of that stuff that I was intending for that series over here.
And you're talking about Clay Clark from Thrive Time Podcast.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Clay Clark. So it kind of brought in some ideas from that. And then I've always been passionate about history and the founding of our country and founding principles. And like I said, it was homeschooled. And so, homeschoolers kind of nerd out on that stuff. I just felt it was like my opportunity to bring in some of the things that I cared about, have some conversations with people that I wanted to talk to. And actually, I actually learned a lot, you know, making the documentary. I didn't realize, you know, some of the things that I learned, which was always encouraging, because when you're learning something, you know, it's pretty good chance that your audience is going to learn something too.
And that was one thing that Eric, my husband, kept saying, just there's so much documented history in this first installment of this docuseries that was so mind-blowing. He was like, first of all, why doesn't mainstream media talk about any of this history? I mean, we have an idea, but also, why is this never taught in schools? When we were growing up, this wasn't even taught in school. Why? I mean, wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can't help but, you know, but think that there's got to be some sort of nefarious reason for it, to withhold this information from people. Yeah. Because it's an empowering message. It's a message that empowers the individual, and teaches us that these rights and these liberties and these freedoms come from our creator, and in a real tangible way. I think there's a lot of people that say that, like they'll say like, oh yes, we know that they're endowed by our creator, or you know, he gave us these things, or it comes from the Judeo-Christian ethic. But I'm the kind of person where I'm just like, well, what does that mean? You know, it's like, well, you know, like what can we point to that's evidence of that? Because you know, the way that you're talking about that, while I believe it, it's just your opinion at this point, because you haven't really backed it up with any facts. And right. So getting together with William Federer was just a godsend.
We got incredible.
With him. I'd actually wanted to talk to the Barton, David and Timothy Barton, but they were really engaged with getting people out of Afghanistan right at the moment.
Oh my gosh.
We were doing the filming. And so they very kindly, connected me with William Federer, and he immediately was just thrilled. And so we worked it out and got connected with him, interviewed him for 3.5 hours. I mean, like, I got 3.5 hours worth of content out of this guy, and he never referred to a note. He's just a white walking historical encyclopedia, and he just rattles off names and dates and stories. And you ask him a question, and he's like, And all of a sudden it's like you ask him a question about one thing, and then he starts talking about something that happened like 2,000 years before prior. And then like you're going like, where are you going with this, Bill? And then he like brings it all the way back up to your question, and you're just like, whoa. And he just unpacks all this context. And as a filmmaker, I'm sitting there interviewing him. I'm going, I don't even know how I'm going to edit this together. I mean, like, how do I edit all this together? He's just provided all this extra context and everything else. And so it was definitely a challenge, but he is just so great, and he's become a friend, and we text and stuff like that. But that was what I really wanted, was I wanted to bring into this Patriot space where we're talking about where we've come to, you know, where we've come to, you know, facing this medical tyranny, where we've come to, where we've advocated our rights and our authority as we the people over to these corporations or to these politicians who have cheated their way in, and you know, how it's all kind of gearing up towards this pretty much the monarchy of all monarchies, where it's like we you know, it's just going to be one world top down government where, you know, we're not going to have any rights or freedoms.
Right.
And how this, how long this has been cooking, you know, it's like when we talk about those things as patriots, I feel like there's a lot of people that get, you know, scared, they get afraid. And my goal as a storyteller is never to bring fear. My goal as a storyteller is always to vanquish fear, and to bestow hope. And so, you know,
that's awesome.
So to bring hope, I feel like we have to be reminded, and we have to be reminded of context, and we have to show that at one point we understood where these rights came from. We could actually point to places in the Bible where, you know, these foundations are. People studied those things, agreed that, you know, hey, based off of the whole of humanity and the whole of philosophy, we understand that these principles actually work fundamentally. And it's not just our opinion based on our religious belief system, but it's actually something that, you know, can be experimented on and scientifically proven that these principles work. Whether or not they come from God is immaterial. You know what I mean? Really, when it comes down to it, like I tell people all the time, I don't really care if you're an atheist. You just have to, you pretty much have to concede to me that these principles that I claim come from my God and come from my book actually lead to your liberty. So
that's right.
You know, you can not believe in God, but you can't deny the fact that these principles work. And so that was kind of my heart with coming, you know, from the historical perspective and bringing that historical context in combination with, you know, this current situation that we find ourselves in, because I feel like we have a better path. We can see the path forward if we can see where we've come from, and we can look back and go, oh, man, we face the exact same tyranny as we face back. We're facing this exact same tyranny. They're literally doing the exact same thing. And we beat it then with these principles. There's probably a good reason to believe that we can beat it again with the same.
Right. Those who don't study history are doomed to repeat it.
Yep.
But unfortunately,
yep,
that dooms all of us to repeat it along with them.
Right.
Yeah. And what I love so much about the reawakening is that it's not political right versus left. It's not, this is a Republican film or a, you know, a Democratic film. This is a film for everyone. It's not science versus anti-science or conspiracy theory, but all of it is historical references. It's all of our history. I mean, and this is history. There's medical evidence presented by incredible, I mean, you've got some heavy hitters in here with Dr. Simone Gold and Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. I love Dr. Tenpenny. Oh my gosh. She's such a hero. But I mean, you guys uncover real true like election fraud in here and showing the evidence of that. I mean, it's just, Matthew, it's incredible work that you are doing. Just absolutely incredible.
Well, thank you. It was extraordinary to talk to all of these amazing people and have access to them and to interview them. And, you know, I think like I was saying before, I mean, that the challenge was, is what do you leave on the cutting room floor? Because it's like, it's just so good. Like everything, like Leigh Dundas's interview was like, I wish I could just lit up the screen with it, because it's extraordinary, the whole thing.
Man, she's such a spitfire.
Oh my gosh.
I love her stuff.
Yeah.
I love listening to her so much.
Yeah, no, for sure. I know every single time she's on the stage at the tour, it's like, I want to listen to it. And Dr. Tenpenny, same, you know, that was the goal, you know, like I don't want to, to me, it's not about right versus left. It's not about, you know, Democrat versus Republicans. I mean, if I were to label myself, because I don't really care. I don't care for labels all that much, but I mean, I would say I'm very much more leaning more libertarian than I am, either Republican. But it really is to me about finding the common denominator, and what we all agree on, that works and functions for humanity. And we might have some differences on, you know, how that is. But like I said, I mean, we really are living in a very unique time where I think that if we can be reminded of these principles that, you know, come from, you know, thousands of years of, you know, of debate and sifting through what works, what doesn't work. You know, this, you know, political science, there was a reason why it was called political science, because this is applying a scientific method to something that, you know, that serves the populace.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you would sit there and look at this and go like, okay, and our founding fathers, you know, they were like, this is why it was called the Great Experiment. You know, it's like, we're going to experiment with this. We're going to actually, like, we have an opportunity to create a nation where we can put these principles that have all been theory up at this, to this point, into action. You know, and aside from, you know, aside from, you know, what we were pointing out in the film, Israel, you know, the first 400 years, after the Exodus and before King Saul, you know, really, you know, we're the first country to, you know, not have a monarch, not have a king, to experiment with what it would be like to have people free, from that top down type of government structure, which seems to be the default of humanity. And so if we can remind ourselves that that's where those principles come from, then, you know, we have a real great opportunity to bring those things back forward, place them front and center, and have a conversation and be able to point at something current, like a current tyranny, right? Because we haven't really, they've done a really good job of hiding tyranny for a long time. And it's now it's like it's right out in the open and everybody is like really concerned about it. And we can actually say, like, look, you know, this tyranny looks exactly like it, like our founding fathers faced and other, you know, freedom fighters have faced across, you know, across the ages. And these are the principles that we can use to beat it. And this is what they used back then and we can use now. And we can actually show that these principles that come from, you know, our maker actually work. And people can go like, well, yeah, you know, that we've been ignoring those things and maybe we should get back to those. And I think there's going to be just an extraordinary, you know, revival, not only, in faith and in belief in God and Jesus. But I really do believe it's going to be an extraordinary revival, towards, the concept of moral law. Mm-hmm. and what it is to actually live, you know, underneath of that moral law and how that moral law can bring peace and prosperity.
Wow. That's so awesome, man. And I am pulling for that. I'm praying for that. Mm-hmm. I'm praying for that. I'm praying that, you know, the Lord's kingdom come and his will be done, because that is the Lord's will, you know, that we live righteously, that we strive to live righteously. You know,
well,
and this show that I do here is called The Remedy, because the world is sick and we're, you know, hurtling towards what seems like ultimate destruction, but that there is a remedy, and the remedy is found in the Word of God. And that is something that I especially love about your documentary, is that you and Clay highlight that this was a calling upon your life. And, tell me how, since you have yielded to this calling, how it has affected your life and your spiritual walk.
Mm. Yeah, no, it was interesting because the previous documentary that we did was called The Trump I Know.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is awesome too, by the way. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. We were asked to work on that by some friends of ours who had you know, the executive producers, they had access to Laura Trump and had passed the idea to create a documentary kind of coming from the women around Trump. Like, there were so many, you know, great women and nobody was seemed to be talking to them, you know. And so we created this documentary. And so they asked me, you know, would you want to direct this documentary? And so I was like, well, that's going to draw a line in the sand. And because I, you know, I'd been working really hard to, you know, to become good enough. I would always tell people that I wanted to become good enough at filmmaking that somebody along the lines of a Steven Spielberg of that ilk, you know, would want to have coffee with me, you know, to get that good at your craft.
Right.
That somebody like that would want to, you know, say, hey, you know, like, let's have coffee sometime. Right. And so, you know, to create a documentary about the president, that for whatever reason, you know, I mean, we have some ideas that Hollywood has seemed to just completely target, and vilify, even though at one point they adored him. You kind of, like I said, draws a line in the sand. And at that moment, I felt God tell me, like, why are you trying to curry favor with people who, you know, like, Hollywood is dying, basically. And you're going to be part of something different. And look over here. This is where your audience is. And he kind of pointed me away from Hollywood over into the middle of America.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, go there. And I said, all right. So it was a point of courage and a point of faith, going like, all right, I'm just going to lay everything in front of you, Lord, and that you're just going to guide my path. So from that, I've always loved creating with him and praying through everything with him. He gives me a amazing ideas. There's times where I go to bed very frustrated and I'll pray and just leave it, you know, at his feet, and I wake up in the morning with an idea of, like, you know, how to structure something differently or better, and it just works. And so I know he talks to me and he loves to co-labor with me and that. Mm-hmm. And I through both, even in commercials, when I was doing commercials, we would pray on set, or I would pray before I'd get to the set and say, Lord, I just, you know, invite your Holy Spirit to show me, happy accidents, things like that, that would work better or whatever, and just kind of giving him charge of things. And so I, you know, did that a lot, you know, through this whole process, just asking God, you know, what's the information? How do you want this to be presented? You know, what is it that you want to be communicated? And so I hope and pray that, you know, what was realized is as close to the heart of God that could come through this, you know, broken earthen vessel that I am, you know, if that makes sense.
That's awesome, dude. I mean, that's exactly right. He is, you know, he co-labors, you know, with us and calls us to our duty. And when we stand up and we take up our cross, it's not always easy to take up our cross, but the cross is our calling. And just like the cross was Jesus's ultimate calling in his life, to take up our cross and follow Jesus. It's not always easy. And the doors that open are very often never the doors that we think are going to open, like you having coffee with Spielberg. Although I hope that someday you can have coffee with him while you share the gospel with him, and his life is changed and he repents, and his soul is saved, you know?
That would be awesome. Yeah. I mean, I don't judge anybody from the standpoint of, like, where their soul's at. I try not to do that. But there's some indication from truth that, you know, it may not be in a good place. But it would be an honor. It would be an honor to have that opportunity.
Yeah, man. Yeah, totally. I love that you guys use Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 in your docu-series, your documentary, and speaking about us being light, because here on The Remedy, we really use, you know, Proverbs 3:5-6 of the Lord making your path straight. And that's what this is illuminating the path, that, you know, the light makes everything visible. And, you know, and that's why he says, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead and Christ will give you light, you know, that he's the light of the world. And I'm just so, so blessed to have had you on the show. And as we close out, do you have something that you would like to share with my listeners? Maybe a beacon of hope in this darkness that we're facing all around us right now?
Yeah, no, I think that God's up to something really great, honestly. You know, when I look at it, like I said, I'm a fairly hopeful person. God, for a long time ago, he, you know, placed kind of that brand of hope that, you know, like, that's my kind of a driving virtue, you know, if you were to call it that. When I look at things, I always come at it like, all right, God, what are you doing? Because I believe that he's got something really extraordinary up his sleeve.
True story.
And really what he needs is for people to wake up and to see, because, you know, he takes the responsibility that he placed on us for this planet very seriously. You know, he's not going to step in and intervene you know, just in any, just in the same way that, you know, a landlord's not going to like break into the house that he rented to you. You know what I mean? Like he's going to ask for permission because you know, that's what he's legally required to do. And God has given us charge over this planet. And while he does step in and intervene every once in a while, I mean, he does take that charge that he's given us very seriously. And I hope that what we're working on and the documentary and the way they're presenting it, you know, helps to awake people or at least maybe provide some context for people that have just woken up that can kind of watch this and go, oh, maybe I'm seeing, you know, through a lens that I didn't see before. And maybe I'm seeing things a little bit clearer. And cause you know, we're all disoriented, you know, this has all been very confusing. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why we, you know, did the documentary the way that we did. You know, being a filmmaker, you know, using the visuals that we did, and it's not just a string of interviews. It's like, I've you know, put a lot of thought process into the sound design, into the visuals, and, you know, create an experience for somebody to sit down and actually feel. I don't have a problem with entertaining people. You know, that's what I feel like my call is to do, is to entertain. But then at the same time, while I'm entertaining you, I'm hoping that I'm also, you're also entertaining new ideas. Right. So, I feel like God is setting something up. I feel like what we're watching right now is the world is waking up. I think the world is waking up to a lot of things that that the enemies, both spiritual and those human beings that have been influenced by the dark spiritual powers, they didn't want us to know. They want us to stay asleep. And I think that it's up to the people of God to recognize where God's fingerprints are on this right now, and to really pray into it, and to release our authority over this planet to him, and to engage with him in what he's doing, follow his lead, because I believe that he wants to bring liberty and freedom to the world. Because it says in the Bible that, you know, I think it's in 2 Corinthians. I mean, I sometimes get the addresses wrong, but it's essentially where it's like, it says that the goal is to put all power and authority underneath his feet, meaning Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if we are the body of Christ, then, you know, that rule and authority is supposed to be placed underneath of our feet. Now, some people have mistakenly believed that that means that we're supposed to be in rule and authority. And I don't think that's true. I think that, you know, God is it's supposed to be underneath of his rule and authority. He is the amazing, benevolent monarch that he is. He gives liberty and freedom to his subjects. He is a good father, and he loves to bestow blessing upon those that fall underneath and place themselves willingly under his law. And so I think that if we can show people that, and we can actually take, you know, our charge, and we're going to watch the rule and authority that these beings, spiritual beings, and these people, these humans that have been influenced by them, we're going to see them crumble. We're going to see all kingdoms pass away, and nothing is going to be left but him. And I think the world is going to finally recognize and realize that he is the benevolent king, and they're going to rejoice because his love and his glory is going to be, you know, shown to everyone. So,
eventually every knee will bow.
People, yeah. You know, and that's not going to be something because it's like, you know, that's going to be because it's so gloriously wonderful.
Oh yeah.
Not because they're afraid.
No.
Not because, like he's showing up and all of a sudden it's like, oh crap, we better bow. You know what I mean? It's like, it's going to be because they're going to be like, wow, like what a benevolent, awesome, loving, caring God.
Yeah. Because of his majesty.
How can I do anything but bow to him? Because he, you know, I owe him my allegiance, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we just, I don't know. I look at everything that's going on right now, and I'm not the doom and gloom kind of guy where it's like, oh yeah, it's going to hell in a handbasket, and so Jesus is coming back. It's like, no, I'm actually believe that we're going to figure out a way to show how we are the image bearers of God, and that we are the bride of Christ, and that we actually have some principles and things like that brought down to us by Him. And that if we lean on Him, I think that He wants to use us to bring that about and to usher in, you know, that return, that glorious return where He steps down on the earth and reigns. But He loves humanity. I mean, He just loves us. You know, when you think about it, He actually has a human body.
Oh, you know? I know. That's so mind-blowing to me. Like, we are space dust in the middle of, I mean, we're on an ant-sized planet, you know, in we are micro dust on an ant-sized planet. How could you know us? But you know every hair on our head. It is, it's unfathomable to me. But He does.
Like I said, I mean, he, I mean, when I stop and think about that, how Jesus ascended and He took His body with Him,
mm-hmm.
and now He's up sitting next to the Father in human form.
Yeah.
With a human body. And you're just like, wow. Like it just makes you look at your own flesh and your own creation and go like, God, you know, I don't want to put down my body. I want to glorify You with it. You know, I want to cherish it and to nourish it and to cherish this earth that You've given us charge over, because You cared enough about it to come down and to take on human form and to die for us, and then to resurrect that same body and take it up to heaven as an example, you know, of what, you know, our future looks like. And so, I don't know, I get excited. When I look at the future, I get excited. I know it's going to be rough. We're probably going through some pretty crazy revelations from the standpoint of like just stuff that's going to be revealed and the ugliness that we're going to have to tangle with and to fix. But I think for the most part, I think, you know, I think people are going to be ready for it. I think we're God's positioning us in the right way. And you know, He's the one that's writing the story, and He wins in the end. And I think it's going to be amazing.
Amen. God wins. Well, Matt, thank you so much for spending time with us today and for sharing this amazing documentary and for doing your part to wake people up, to shake up awaken, O sleeper, you know, and get that light fired up inside of people. It's incredible. I'm so, so blessed to have had you on the show today.
Well, thank you so much. I was blessed to be here.
I'm proud to now call Matthew a friend, and I am so stoked about this series. Go to reawakeningseries.com. I will have the link in the description of this podcast. It will also be on my website, sarahamazinggrace.com. Use code REMEDY for 10% off. All the proceeds go to support the efforts in the making of the next installments in the series. And if the next ones are half as rad as the first, you guys, it's going to be epic. Okay, you guys, I will see you next week. I love you guys. Peace.